Good morning, everyone. Last week, we began studying the final chapter in the book of Timothy, chapter number 6. And we looked at the three main points that we find there. We opened up by just kind of giving a quick overview of the chapter and looking at those three main points. And I think the three main points that we find here in chapter number 6 is the first one in verse number 3, because here in the final chapter, Paul, you know, starts to bring things to a close, and he's kind of tying the bow on everything, and he starts off in the book of 1 Timothy by talking about teaching no other doctrine. And if you're going to give instruction for the local assembly, you know, it's Paul starts off with what's the most important thing. It's the doctrine. If you're not rooted and grounded in the truth, what else matters? What else could possibly come? You know, life comes from the root of the vine. And if the vine is not in the soil and it's not getting the nutrients that it's needing, if it's not feeding off of the truth, then what would be the end result of the assembly? I mean, disaster, corruption, you know. So when Paul comes over here in verse number 3, he's now recapping. And I think the three main points that we find is the teaching no other doctrine. So we're going to teach no other doctrine than that which is according to godliness. In verse number 6, he talks about how it's godliness with contentment is great gain. So you have the doctrine and being content in who you are in Christ. It's being content in where you find yourself. It's having that doctrine. Being content is great gain. And Paul encourages Timothy at the end here of chapter number 6 to fight the good fight and to remain faithful. So you have these instructions, Timothy, now go out and fight the fight. And so we realize that we are in a fight. We are in a battle, you know, whether you like to admit it or not, right? You know, you're either just going to be you're on the battlefield whether you choose to be or not. The question is, will you actively engage in the battle? And Paul tells Timothy, fight the fight. So we also saw last week as we studied the first couple of verses in chapter number 6, we see this beautiful phrase in verse number 2 where, you know, Paul is talking about the servants and masters, and he comes down and he says, you know, how rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. And we looked at that last week, it's an important phrase to understand. If you want to understand the rest of the chapter, how is it that one is to be content? It is the truth that Paul says we've been made partakers of the benefit. The fact that you know that you have a hope. The fact that you know you've been put into something. The fact that you know that, you know, this is not all for naught. You can be content knowing that you've been made partakers of the benefit. What does that mean exactly? So we went and looked at what the inheritance of the saints are. And if we have the inheritance of the saints, which is the redemption, which is through His blood, we have the justification, the forgiveness of sin, we've been baptized by the Holy Spirit, so we've been given a new walk with the Holy Spirit, blessed with all spiritual blessings, and we share in the riches of His grace. So it's quite an inheritance that we have. It's quite a benefit that we have. You know, every year at work, you know, the benefits have to be renewed, right? There's no renewal with these benefits. They are eternal. You don't have to elect a new benefit every year. And it doesn't cost you anything because His Son paid for it with His blood. And so we're waiting on the redemption of these bodies when we have a new glorified body. And I know, you know, Ken's looking forward to that more than most of us. But the fact is that we are partakers of the benefit. It's not a hope so. You are partaking of it. You're a partaker. And so we continue now in verse number 3, and Paul says, if any man teach otherwise. So obviously otherwise here is a contrast to what Paul just said. Paul said, you're a partaker of the benefit. And obviously, we should understand what those benefits are. And Paul now is going to give a warning, and he says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Now, obviously we say, if any man teach otherwise. The book starts off with what to teach. He not only tells you back in chapter 1 to teach no other doctrine, but he then goes on to talk about his apostleship. He actually gives the warning about those who desire to be teachers of the law first. And then after he tells you, make sure that you're looking out and not teaching the law, he tells you about his apostleship. So what would be the right doctrine? The right doctrine would be the doctrine that was committed unto Paul. And so he starts off the book with telling you what to teach, or what is to be taught, what Timothy is to teach, what we are to teach. And the book deals with doctrine throughout. And he ends with the warning that there's going to be men that are coming around and they're going to be teaching otherwise. And so from the beginning to the end, this book is consistent. Teach no other doctrine. Here's the false doctrine. Here's the right doctrine. He comes over here. If any man teach otherwise, you know, so there's an internal consistency within the book, obviously. And when you think about the warning here that's been given to Timothy, Timothy's been left here in a battle. He's been left to teach the truth in the midst of false teachers. Teachers who will go out and teach otherwise, teach other doctrine. And at the end, at the book ends of 1 Timothy, Paul reminds that which is of the utmost importance. That's doctrine. It's not do whatever you need to do to make sure that the coffers don't dry up, right? It's not make sure that you have enough money, because without money, then we'd be left with nothing and we couldn't accomplish anything as an assembly. Paul says it's the doctrine. Because if all else fails, you have the ground, the local assembly, the church, the local church, which is to be the pillar and ground of the truth, and you'll have a ground to stand on as long as you have the truth. And so even if we lost everything, like many people in this world have, we would still have His Word. And even if our assembly were dirt poor and had no money, we'd still stand for the doctrine. Because we'd still have that. That is the issue of importance. Paul doesn't look out and say that the measure of your worth is based upon your bank account. The measure of your worth is not what's in the income that's flowing in. And boy, if you've got the income flowing in, that's a good sign that you're doing the right thing. You don't find that as the litmus test from Paul. But yet, if you were to go on TV and watch televangelists, you would sure think that that's the first litmus test, wouldn't you? Turn over to Romans chapter number 1. Hold your place in 1 Timothy, because we'll come back there. But when Paul says, if any man teach otherwise, what is the issue here? What is the issue? What is the big deal? The issue is doctrine, but why is that? So Romans chapter 1, look at verse number 10. Paul says, he's writing this epistle to the Romans. He wants to come to them, and he says this, making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. Now, why is it that Paul wants to come unto the Romans? He says he wants to impart some spiritual gift. For what purpose? So that way, we want to see you be able to speak in the gift of tongues, right? Because if you have that tongue, you know that you're holy or righteous or whatever it may be. That's not the issue here. He says, what does he say there in verse number 11? To the end you may be established. And what is it that's going to establish the believer? The end result of what Paul is wanting to impart to them is something that will establish the believer. Now look over to chapter 16 of Romans. chapter 16, and look at verse number 25. Now, by the way, you notice we drew a contrast this morning between 1 Timothy chapter 1, the first chapter, and 1 Timothy chapter 6, the last chapter, and the consistency about doctrine in the beginning and doctrine in the end. Paul says in Romans chapter 1 that he wants to impart to them some spiritual gift that they may be established. And he ends the book of Romans by saying this in verse number 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Now, it says, to him that is of power to establish you. Who's that? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Word who became flesh. And he says, now to him that is of power to establish you, that's your power source. That's where the power is going to come from. And how's it going to happen? According to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. So if you're going to have doctrine that's working in you, that's going to establish you, what's it going to be? You're going to have to be preaching Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. If you're not preaching Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, that doctrine's not going to establish you. If you put yourself under Israel's program and you're looking to the circumstances of your life to find out what God is doing for you, and you think that that's the measure of what God's doing, is that going to establish you in your life? By looking around at your circumstances and saying, oh, well, you know, I didn't get this. God's not happy with me. I did get this. God's happy. That's not right doctrine. That's not going to be helpful to you. That's going to be a hindrance to you. That's wrong. Paul says what's going to establish you is his gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. The issue in Paul's mind is that he wants to establish the believers. He wants to have mature saints. And the issue in Paul's mind for the believer and is first and foremost the maturity of the believer to be established. And the way that that's going to be the way that's going to happen is if your mind is functioning on the truth. And the truth is going to come from the doctrine. That's why the doctrine is important. That's why Paul's talking about in Timothy, teach no other doctrine. You don't want to teach something else that gets people's mind off of the truth. And at the end, he says, you don't want to have someone who's teaching a false doctrine. If any man teach otherwise, is what Paul says in 1 Timothy 6. So the issue here, the spiritual gift that he's wanting to impart to them, to the Romans, is the issue of doctrine. That word established means to be firmly grounded, so that you can stand unshakably, stabilized, balanced, that word back in Romans chapter 1. And so the doctrine that is going to do that, you have to understand this, is going to be the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. The preaching of Jesus Christ, if it's not according to Paul's gospel, if you fail to rightly divide the word of truth, if you go out and preach Israel's program, it's not going to establish you, because that's not what God's doing today. And in Timothy, if you look back at 1 Timothy chapter 6, and he says in verse number 3, if any man teach otherwise, I want you to notice there, these are people that are going to be teachers. This is warning you against people that are going to be teaching something. And if they're teaching something, what are they going to be teaching? They're going to be teaching the Bible. But if they're teaching otherwise, things that are contrary to what Paul was talking about, then they're teaching a false gospel. They're teaching a wrong doctrine, not what's going to establish you. So the first thing that you can figure out from this when he talks about there's going to be teachers is don't believe everything just because someone's teaching it from the Bible. You know, don't be naive enough to think that just because someone gets up and has a Bible in front of them that what they're teaching is correct. There are false teachers that are teaching from the Bible. And I think that, you know, Christians, because we don't know anything about God's Word, and I realize I'm making a general statement, and you may think I'm being a bit harsh, but Christianity in general, because they don't know anything about God's Word, if there's somebody that'll stand up with a Bible in their hand and say something, then Christians naively accept it because they say, well, he's got a Bible in his hand, he must know what he's talking about. And a lot of times they buy the lies, hook, line, and sinker, as they say. The second thing is that we're to use discernment when listening to Bible teachers. So don't believe everything just because somebody is teaching out of the Bible. Use discernment to hear what it is that they're saying. Examine what it is that they're saying. And does it line up with what Paul taught? Make sure that you're reading and studying your Bible so that you have the knowledge to draw discernment. Can you imagine Paul giving this instruction, if any man teach otherwise? And if you're not studying the Word yourself, you would have no ability to know if someone's teaching otherwise, because you don't know truth from error. So you would have no ability to execute the instruction that Paul's giving to you if you don't study for yourself. The third thing is to be aware that these teachers who teach otherwise will be teaching. There's going to be false teachers. They're going to be teaching from the Bible, but they're not believing and teaching what Paul taught, as we're going to come down through this chapter here and see. When you rightly divide the word of truth, you're dividing between Pauline truth and the truth for Israel. You're dividing between uncircumcision and circumcision, between grace and law, between mystery and prophecy. And so if you understand these things, you'll be able to spot the false teacher. That's why Paul tells you to study, to show thyself approved unto God. Because you need to study these things. You need to know these things. You know, it's not sufficient enough for you to come in on a Sunday and you know, listen to me teach for 30 minutes. How do you know that I'm teaching truth? Don't believe me because I said it. You need to, you're responsible for yourself. And you need to make sure that you're rooted and grounded in the truth, and you need to be in God's Word. So now there's three things that we're going to see here in chapter 6 that Paul follows this statement up with. Look there at verse number 3 again. If any man teach otherwise. If a man's going to teach otherwise, I want you to notice the three things which he says afterwards. He says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Wholesome words, words of Lord Jesus Christ, the doctrine which is according to godliness. Now, let's look at those three things a minute. Wholesome words, what is something that's wholesome words? You know, wholesome, you know, we talk about, I hear the word wholesome entertainment, you know, in today's society, because most of the entertainment is filth. So you talk about wholesome. What are wholesome words? Wholesome is that which is good and right. And wholesome words has the connotation of there being sound words that are going to contribute to the health of your mind. You know, Paul talks about being renewed in your mind. If you don't have the right words in your mind, you're not going to have a healthy mind. So what that means is we're talking about teaching the Bible rightly divided. If we're trying to renew our mind, it wouldn't be healthy for our minds to be operating upon what God's not doing today. Then we wouldn't have a renewed mind. And so it would only be healthy if we were thinking about what God's doing today that leads to eternal life for us. That's the way that we're to operate today, and we put the right information in our operating system, right? Like if you're running on if you're running on Linux and you put, you know, Windows into it, the two don't compute, right? You got to work with the right operating system. And so what if we're teaching Israel's program, it would not be healthy and it would not be wholesome words. And he says, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now this is the point where some people would use this verse to say that Paul doesn't have a distinct ministry. You know, that what Paul's teaching, that there's no difference between Christ's earthly ministry and the revelation of the mystery given unto Paul. That there's no different rules and instructions for Israel's in the body of Christ. And some of what Jesus said on this earth is transdispensational. There's things that will apply to us, such as love God and love your neighbor. Is that, boy, we should stay away from that stuff because Christ said that in his earthly ministry and that's not for us. No. There's an understanding, we should study all the scripture, understanding what Christ has said, but understanding that some of the things that Christ said in his earthly ministry were specifically to the nation of Israel. But the issue here is that we're to consent to the words of Christ, but which words would that be? Turn over to Galatians chapter 1. Hold your place in 1 Timothy. Get Galatians chapter 1. And go ahead and get 1 Corinthians 14. Galatians 1 and 1 Corinthians 14. Now, the issue here, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, these are the words committed unto Paul. The words that the Lord Jesus Christ committed unto Paul. Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 11 says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man." So what you know here is that Paul's getting ready. Well, let's read verse 12. "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." So what Paul is saying here, the words that I got are not the words of men. I'm not a men pleaser. I don't come up with my own doctrine. I didn't get it from other men. The doctrine that I got, I received directly by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So if Paul received a revelation of Jesus Christ and he's preaching the words that Christ would have him to preach, are those the words of our Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, they are. And so Paul goes on to tell you in chapter number 2 how the revelation of Jesus, what the revelation of Jesus Christ was not. The revelation of Jesus Christ was not the same thing that he had committed unto the 12 apostles. Paul goes out of his way to say that I didn't see any of those guys, except for James the Lord's brother, and I saw Peter for a little bit, but other than that, I didn't see any of them. They wouldn't even know me by face. The things that I write unto you, I lie not. I always love that. I just picture, you know, Paul slamming his fist down as he's writing the letter. You have to believe me because this is an important point. I lie not. So Paul's saying that the things that he received was not the same thing that the 12 apostles were preaching. He goes on in chapter number 2 in Galatians to talk about how the gospel which he preached, that Peter, James, Cephas, James, and John agreed that he would go unto the uncircumcision while they would go to the circumcision with the different gospel. So you know that the words are not the same. So when Paul comes over and says that the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, understanding that Jesus Christ spoke two different things at different times, you need to understand which one you're supposed to follow. Now, so understanding that there's a difference, this could be one of three things. When Paul says in 1 Timothy, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, this could either be the whole Bible, because the whole Bible speaks of Jesus Christ. It could be the words that Christ spoke, you know, like the red letter Bibles, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is it the words from his earthly ministry that he spoke? Or is it the words that Christ revealed to Paul from heaven? These are the three things that you have, because two of them are contradictory. So it's either the whole thing, or one, or the other, either Christ or the 12. And the answer to that is the words that will produce the doctrine of godliness. And so the question I have to you is it which one of those will produce the doctrine of godliness? Go back to 1 Timothy. I know I had you get 1 Corinthians 14, but go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1. The words that will produce godliness is the words that were revealed to Paul directly from heaven. He says in 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 6, he's already told them to teach no other doctrine, and he tells them in verse number 6, "From which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law. Now, when I said that it's either, you know, the whole Bible or the words of Christ in his earthly ministry or the words committed under the unto Paul, when the Lord Jesus Christ came in his earthly ministry, what was he teaching? He was teaching law. He told Israel that every, you know, those who sit in Moses' seat, obey them. Do what they say. Just don't do what they do because they're hypocrites. But he says, you do the law. What does Paul tell you about the law? Paul tells you, if you keep the law, you're cursed. If you try to keep circumcise yourself, if you try to keep the covenant of circumcision, if you try to keep the law, you're cursed. Because Christ will profit you nothing. Because law and grace are opposites. How are you saved today? What's the gospel? For by grace, you can say it with me, are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. So if you're saved by grace through faith today, where is law in that formula? It's not there. Law is different than grace. And so what are the words that Paul is talking about here? When he says, desiring to be teachers of the law, there in verse number 7, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm, is the law part of the Bible? Yes. Is the law good? Yes. Is the law holy? Yes. But he says, if there's people that are coming to you and teaching the law, they don't understand what they're saying, and they don't understand what they're affirming. The law is not these wholesome words of 1 Timothy chapter number 6. So it's not the whole Bible, it's Paul's message, because the law does not produce godliness. What does the law produce? More and more sin. The law just says, look how you screwed up over here. Look what you have violated over here. Look at how bad you are. Come and offer the sacrifice every year for a covering for your sins. Because you can't do it. I asked you to get 1 Corinthians 14. Look at verse number 37. The words of our Lord Jesus Christ is what we're talking about. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you, Paul's words from the Lord Jesus Christ, are the commandments of the Lord. The words that Paul wrote, what Paul wrote, is what we are dealing with in 1 Timothy chapter number 6, where Paul says the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. We understand that we have to rightly divide the word of truth to get the words that are going to be effective to us. And when he says the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, if you teach the law, will that produce doctrine? Does the law teach you doctrine that is according to godliness? Well, in a way, the law is your schoolmaster to bring you unto Christ. The law tells you what being holy is. But the law has no ability to produce godliness in your life. So it's not the doctrine that's unto godliness. And Paul says in verse number 4, these people who are teaching otherwise, these people who are coming in and teaching the law and teaching doctrine which is not according to godliness, he says in verse number 4, he is proud, knowing nothing. Sorry, I didn't get you back to 1 Timothy 6, did I? So if you're in 1 Corinthians, go back to 1 Timothy number 6. And verse number 4, he says, these false teachers who are teaching the Bible but not teaching the Bible properly. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Now, we don't have time to unpack that this week. It's Donut Sunday, so I understand I have to be prompt here. So I think I have a minute left. But let me just make some general comments. These people who are teaching the law, when it says all of these things about these teachers, I think some people read this and they think, boy, if somebody was teaching that, I'd be able to spot it from these things, right? But you understand that these issues of pride, knowing nothing, you know, they can pass off in pulpits around this country. When, you know, you read these things about strifes of words. You know, when I look at people who don't understand how to rightly divide the word of truth, what do they get caught up in, right? They get caught up into, you know, what does this word in the original Greek mean, and this and that. And I'm not against Bible study. What I'm saying is the main focus tends to be away from understanding what God is doing today. And then they get caught up in these minutiae and details that has no ability to edify the saints in their assembly. But yet they get up and they say, well, you know, this word has this Greek connotation here without the subjective verb here and over here. And so, you know, obviously this was translated incorrectly and the word should say this. Meanwhile, not giving the people an understanding of what that verse actually means. And it says, he's proud. And he knows nothing. And some people will say, well, don't tell me he knows nothing. He gets up there and he can speak eloquently. What is it that matters, though? He knows nothing when it comes to the doctrine that's going to be able to produce godliness in your life. When the trials come, when the tribulations come, and you're looking at things based upon the law because they've put you under Israel's program, and you think it's the circumstances of your life, and you look out and you say, oh God, why me? Why did you do this to me? Why are you so unhappy with me? Rather than looking at it and saying, Lord, thank you for making me a partaker of the benefit. Thank you that no matter what comes my way, I have the hope of heaven. That you've blessed me, and I know that through your grace, I can handle what comes my way. These people who teach things that are contrary to Paul's doctrine, they lead to corrupt minds. And you may look at that and you may say, well, what are you trying to say by that? By a corrupt mind, when Paul tells you to be renewed in your mind, what is your thinking supposed to be in line with? The mind of Christ. And so if you have a corrupt mind, you're not thinking properly. You're not thinking on the basis of truth. And that's why it says, after a corrupt mind, that you're destitute of truth. Because these people who are proud, we'll pick up here next week, but if they're teaching the law, if they're teaching a performance-based system for God's favor, what are they saying that you can do? They're saying you can do it. What does that produce? Pride. And so, we should have an attitude not of pride. When you understand that the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for your sins, that you had no ability to save yourself, and yet you, being a sinner, while you were yet in your sins, Christ died for you and loved you enough to do that, and He offers it to you freely, knowing that you can't give Him anything in return, and He loved you enough to just give you everything, and you had nothing to offer Him, is that going to produce pride? No. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We're thankful for your Son and what He's done for us. We're thankful for the truth that we have. May we continue to stand on it, Lord, and may we understand those who would come along and rob us, Lord, of that mind which is rooted and grounded in the truth that would move us off of right doctrine. And Lord, and move us into confusion, being destitute of the truth. Lord, may we understand these things. May we have enough understanding, Lord, that we would be able to discern these things spiritually. Lord, that we would grow as a church, as a local assembly. Lord, that we would have the maturity to spot these things out and to help others who we come into contact with. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.